Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay here, the Playmakers, on this Tuesday afternoon. It is a night game day, and we need to get you ready for this 1-8 matchup. And we bring in someone who knows the opposition really well, the Blackhawks insider for our sister station, The Score in Chicago. He's also the host of a podcast, the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. He's also written a book on the Blackhawks, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Chicago Blackhawks. Jay Zawoski joining us. Jay, thanks for coming on, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Jay, so in terms of Chicago, is there excitement about having the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then is it tempered by the fact that they have to play the Vegas Golden Knights?
I think the answer to both those questions is yes. It was unexpected that the Hawks would get this far. I mean, they were not a playoff team this year. And then the Edmonton series, I think people had a feeling they could win it. But, you know, after they dominated game one, then game two, people are a little bit worried that, okay, the real Hawks are here. This is what it's going to look like most of the series. But then I think now that they've won that series in advance to the actual playoffs, people have gotten more excited about it. But the reality of the strength of this opponent, to people who do follow hockey on a regular basis, they know the Hawks are overmatched here, and everything that happens from here on out is basically just gravy. But we'll take it because they've got some young players that these playoffs are going to benefit. And let's go. You know, let's see what they can do.
Now, Jay, that's not a very much a hockey mentality, because you got to make sure you don't overlook your opponents, and you got to make sure that you think and believe in your soul that you're going to win. But a lot of us are still getting to know the new but somewhat familiar Blackhawks squad that you guys have this year in their first postseason action since 2017. I think head coach Jeremy Colleton's first crack at it behind the bench. But for those of us that are kind of catching up, what are some of the key differences in the way that Jeremy Colleton runs his team versus what we saw from Joel Quenneville when he was still running this bench in the last time they were in the playoffs?
Well, there's not a huge difference stylistically. I think that Q was very predicated on that long stretch pass from, you know, having defensemen that can move the puck with speed, with accuracy throughout the zone. And when the Blackhawks were winning Stanley Cups, it wasn't just Brent Seabrook. It wasn't just Duncan Keith. It was Nicholas Jalmerson. It was Johnny Oduya. They had an arsenal of players that could do that. All six of their defensemen in that time frame could move the puck well. They don't have that luxury anymore. Duncan Keith is still playing very well for, you know, a 36, 37-year-old defenseman with that many miles on him. Adam Boquist can move the puck, but he's still a little bit hesitant being a, you know, a 19-year-old defenseman. He's going to pick his spots here and there. But aside from those two, there's not a ton of puck movers on this team. So that's sort of where you'll notice the big difference is you're going to see you know, it takes a little bit longer for those zone exits. There has to be a little more puck support from the forwards for the Hawks to get the puck out of the zone as well as they used to. And just in general, controlling the puck is not something they did as much as they you know, did back in the day, because like the Golden Knights, those Blackhawks championship teams were stacked. They could roll four lines. You know, they had fourth line players like Marcus Kruger, who would have been probably second, third liners on other teams. They don't have that depth now. They don't have the same talent they had. So that's really going to be the difference. It's going to take a lot more puck support from the forwards to come back and get that puck moving the other way.
Now, the Hawks have had a couple of really young guys step up and really make a splash, and I'm sure that's a lot due to Dominic Kubalik, who had a huge hand in defeating the Edmonton Oilers in that qualifying round. He was a seventh rounder in 2013, had 46 points in his rookie season this year. What kind of game should we expect him to bring to game one, especially after he's had a couple of game-winning goals against Edmonton and rolling in with 6 points?
There's two things about Dominic Kubalik that you need to look for. First of all, he has probably the best shot on a team. And I don't think it's particularly close. He can get the shot off with accuracy and with speed right away. As soon as that puck's on a stick, the puck is gone and often in the back of the net, scoring 30 goals this year. He also has a knack for finding the place to be, finding the spots that are unprotected, getting there, and then, you know, when the pass gets to him, like I said, he can fire him quickly. He does have a knack for finding those areas. Alex DeBrincat is another guy who has that sort of a knack, but he hasn't really contributed during these playoffs. But yeah, Kubalik just has this ability to score quickly and to find those areas. He reminds me a little bit of Artemi Panarin, and I don't want to go and put him in the stratosphere just yet. But in terms of the shot release, in terms of finding those tricky spots to be, Kubalik is very similar to Panarin in that way.
And that hockey vision skill is so important, especially nowadays where everybody is so skilled. Everybody has, you know, an arsenal in terms of shots, in terms of their skating ability. But that hockey vision is really what sets people apart. And I think that's what has set Jonathan Toews apart from so many of his peers throughout his career. He's captained the Blackhawks to three different cups and is leading your team this year in playoff points as well. And he looks like that he's on a Remember Me revenge tour so far after a couple seasons where he wasn't doing a lot because the team wasn't. So how has his leadership style changed over the past few seasons, and how has it brought this specific group together, at least comparatively to the cup-winning teams that he's captained in the past?
Well, it's funny because I don't think that his leadership style has changed very much at all. He's always been lead by example. Watch me do this. I'm the highest paid player on the team, but I'm going to work harder than everybody. And if I can work this hard, you can work this hard. And that sort of trickles down to the entire roster. That's never gone away. There was a little bit, a couple years there where Toews was dealing with some injuries. He changed his diet, so I think he was dealing with some strength issues as well while he figured that whole thing out. But the last couple years, he's had a bounce back offensively. He's not the same guy he was, you know, when he was in his mid-20s winning Stanley Cups. And you know, he has the natural aging process that every NHL player except Duncan Keith has. But, you know, these last couple years, he's been really good. And this playoff series, the one against Edmonton, that looked like the Jonathan Toews was old, just sort of willing himself to the net, you know, scoring in droves, just being completely effective on all ends of the ice. That's the Jonathan Toews that Blackhawks fans fell in love with during the dynasty days. And that series in Edmonton, he looked like that guy again. And I don't know if it was so unexpected if you're someone who watches every Hawks game, but, you know, as the team sort of loses relevance as they miss the playoffs, people kind of forget. It was
exactly
a nice reminder of who Jonathan Toews is.
He knows the Blackhawks better than anybody else. The insider for our sister station, The Score in Chicago, Jay Zawoski, joining us here. He wrote a book on the Blackhawks, The Big 50, The Men and the Moments That Made the Chicago Blackhawks. It's a little layup for me here to ask you here, Jay, but you'll know better than anybody else because you saw the majority of the body of his work this season. The guy who Pete DeBoer here has tapped to be in goal for the Vegas Golden Knights, Robin Lehner. Lehner, what scares you about Lehner in terms of having Chicago face him? But what also are you looking for in trying to penetrate his armor?
Well, here's something I learned about Robin Lehner and his time in Chicago. First of all, he's one of the best goalies in the league. There's no doubt about that. His unorthodox style, where he's a guy who is sort of old school, will stack the pads and make those spectacular glove saves. Stylistically, him and Corey Crawford could not be any different. Another thing I know about Robin Lehner, though, is if things start to go wrong, if things start to go south, he can lose it a little bit during the course of a game. You know, if things start to unravel, if they get down, you know, 3-1 early, and this is back when he was with the Hawks, but I don't expect it to happen to the Knights very often in this series. But, you know, you would see him sort of lose his composure a little bit. He plays with a lot of passion. He plays with a lot of fire. That's what I like about him. But if there's a little bit of a soft spot, he can lose himself in those games a little bit. He reminds me a lot of Eddie Belfour. Similar, you know, fire on the ice. He's not going to let people get in his crease. He's going to speak his mind after the game. I really like Robin Lehner's personality. I hope that when the season's over, the Hawks do try to sign him. I don't know if they're going to be able to with the cap flattening out, but a lot of us hoped that Robin Lehner will be the Hawks goalie long term, and then they traded him. But Corey Crawford has played really well this year, too, and I think people are writing him off a little too easily as well. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a really awesome story to watch during these playoffs. I know going into tonight's game, I think that's what the pundits will be talking about, will be Lehner versus Crawford. But those two are much closer in terms of talent ability than I think people give Crawford credit for.
So, Jay, how confident are you in the Hawks' defensive core, other than Duncan Keith, and their depth and their ability to skate with a true four-line team in the Vegas Golden Knights? You guys stopped Connor McDavid and Drysdale, but this is a completely different animal, or as you said, beast, and it's a lot more than just one line or two guys. So what do your defensemen need to do to kind of bottle up these Knights?
Well, that's going to be the challenge. Is, you know, you can cherry pick your matchups. When it's one line, you got to stop. When it's one guy, you got to stop. They're not going to have that luxury here against Vegas. And the pair of Calvin DeHaan and Connor Murphy, two guys who are just kind of old school defense only defensemen. They're not super fast. They're probably average in speed, but they're savvy. They're smart. They block shots. They make the sort of sacrifices you have to make to win games. And those kind of things seem to show up more in the playoffs. They seem to matter more in the playoffs. What concerns me, and he's, you know, somehow survived the series against Edmonton, is Olli Maatta, who is one of the slowest skating defensemen, one of the slowest skating players in the National Hockey League. And boy, there were some moments of greatness from Maatta against Edmonton, and then there were some moments where you just wanted to put your head in your hands and and reevaluate life when you watched him play. That slow-footedness is going to be an issue for him. And while Vegas doesn't have anyone quite as fast as Connor McDavid, I don't think anybody does, they've got four lines of really good players. So I'm going to be really interested to see how Jeremy Calhoun uses his defensive pairs in this series. I don't really know what the plan is going to be. Who do you choose to slow down? You know, I think you would consider the shutdown pair would be Murphy and DeHaan. I would look for them to draw whoever they deem to be the toughest line to defend. And because, you know, Keith is still the best defenseman, but he's out there with Boqvist in a bit of a babysitter role. Boqvist can play too, but, you know, Keith and Boqvist are not the shutdown pair anymore. So I think look for DeHaan and Murphy to draw that top matchup. And another guy, Slater Cuckoo, who is, you know, number six on the depth chart in most people's eyes, led the Hawks in most important metrics this season. Just a guy who really flew under the radar and had a nice series against Edmonton. And he's starting to make some noise for himself as well. So they have, I'll say this, they have a collection of six defensemen. They've got one number one and five, you know, fours or fives. That's kind of how the Blackhawks defensive core is made up. Unlike back in the day when they're winning cups, where they had two number ones and probably four number two style defensemen.
They're going to absolutely have to be choosy and really maintain that gap control, considering how much speed and skill is on that on this Golden Knights team. But we would be remiss to talk about the Blackhawks for as long as we have here, Jay, without mentioning Patrick Kane. And while he has 4 points, I don't think he's has been as loud, or at least as much attention paid to him as we usually see towards him in the playoffs. So talk to us a little bit about where Patrick Kane's game is and how he can really dictate play, especially against high-quality opponents, even against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, you're right. I was surprised of how little of an impact he had on the Edmonton series. And that, you know, that could be Edmonton choosing to eliminate him, you know, and saying this is the guy we're going to focus on the most. The other thing is his line mates weren't doing him much favors for part of the series. When Alex DeBrincat, who scored 40 goals last year, has had a really down year this year. He was with Dylan Strome for a while. Towards the end of the series, Jeremy Calhoun switched up the lines and put Kane with Kirby Dach and DeBrincat. And things looked a lot better when that was put together. Kirby Dach, the rookie, has been maybe the most impressive Blackhawk not named Jonathan Toews in this series. And hopefully this series can get Kane going a little more, because they can't win without Patrick Kane being their best and most effective forward. I don't know if that's possible. And, you know, I guess if you want to say, you know, if you want to make a case for the Blackhawks, you can look at it and say, well, you beat Edmonton in four games. Without Patrick Kane playing top level, with Alex DeBrincat being a non-factor, with Dylan Strome being a non-factor, if any or all of those guys perform the way they're expected to, the Hawks are a different team and a much better team. So we'll see. Patrick Kane's success sort of dictates the Hawks' success, and I think it's tough to keep him down long. And trust me, Patrick Kane's a guy who studies the game probably more than any player I've ever covered in my career. And he knows what his numbers were. He knows what he contributed and what he didn't. And I think he's going to look at this series as a reset and an opportunity to fix what went wrong against Edmonton.
Blackhawks insider for our sister station, The Score in Chicago. It's great to have his insight and his knowledge, Jay Zawoski, here on The Playmakers. Jay, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll be sure to touch base as this series rolls on.
Yeah, let's hope it goes 6 or 7.
That right on. I'm here for it, Jay. I'm here for it.
Thanks so much, Jay.
The more hockey, the better, right?
You bet. Jay Zawoski, Blackhawks insider for The Score in Chicago. He wrote a book on the team, like literally a book.
Yeah.
The Big 50, the men in the moments that made the Chicago Blackhawks. Also hosts a podcast. He's been covering them for 20 plus years. You know what? We almost need some crib notes or a little crib sheet, you know, Cliff's notes.
Cliff notes.
After a conversation like that, just real in-depth, real good insight into a team that, you know, really, I mean, if you look at the schedule too and the fact that we had the pause, Knights fans haven't seen the Blackhawks unless you were watching center ice or happened to catch them on national TV. The Knights haven't seen them in person for 8 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where this postseason really is a toss-up, because you're just not sure what teams you're going to get. And considering how well Jonathan Toews is playing, how well Dominic Kubalik is playing, and they're getting offense and support from some guys that they usually don't expect from, it makes sense how they got to where they are. But they're going to really have to step up their game to beat the Golden Knights. That's exactly what Jay said. But the Knights need to take care of business, and that's the biggest thing, because they know this, the Hawks know this, but if they're not efficient, if they're not overbearing, if they don't dictate the play, Hawks will take it right over. They have no problem. That's exactly what they did in game one against Edmonton, and I think that's what really pushed that series towards that side. It was 4 games, so it was short, but that game was won and lost. Just like the confidence from the Oilers were won and lost in game one.
Well, there's your view from the opposing bench tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights taking on Chicago. The puck is supposed to drop right around 7:40 is what we're looking at. The NHL does have 2 games, as we did start the playoffs earlier today. They are going into a second overtime in the Eastern Conference between Columbus and Tampa.
We all thought so.
Yeah, that is a
obviously.
That is it. Knotted at 2-2. And at the end of the first period, Calgary is pouring it on Dallas right now, up 2-0.
So far, my picks are looking great. At least in those series.
You picked both Columbus and Tampa?
I did indeed. Not Tampa.
You picked both teams and tied it too.
I picked Columbus.
How'd you pick both teams?
I picked Columbus and I picked Calgary in each of those respective series. They're both upsets, but they're looking good so far. But it's just game one.
Right.
Game one.
Right. It's very true.
Shift by shift.
But we are underway, as Lindsay will dig out more cliches throughout the program this afternoon. Coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.